And welcome back to politics. Although I call it politics and my name is Presh, and the title of this episode is Israel slash Hezbollah agreed to a ceasefire. And let me start off this episode by asking a question. Why is Batman the most popular comic book character? The answer is that he has the best villains. And the reason that this is the best podcast, we have the best villains in podcasting. And at the top of that list is the US ambassador to South Africa, Reuben Brigitte, or should I say, former ambassador, as he was forced to resign in disgrace this week. So I want to give a RIP, a rest in piss to Mr. Brigitte. You will not be missed. Right? So now the reason I hold so much disdain for Brigitte is that he said he would, quote, stake his life, end quote, on the claim that we were selling arms to Russia. So I don't remember what episode that was, but Tylan was still a co-host. This was still a movie podcast when Brigitte did this. It was quite a while ago. Right? It was about a year and a half ago or something like that. And since he made those claims, he has yet to produce even one piece of evidence to back it up. And unfortunately, due to his lies, the markets at the time reacted negatively, which caused inflation to go up, and therefore the interest rate also went up, squeezing the middle class even further, because the cost of car and home repayments went up. Right? So as I said when I initially covered the story, South Africa is a country facing many problems, right? We don't need idiots like Brigitte making things worse. So, you know, I'm glad he's gone. Certain people may say that, well, Presh, he didn't resign in disgrace. He's just resigning because he was a Democrat, and now, after the elections, Trump, a Republican, is in power. So that's just how it works. He's gone now because of that. And to which I say, he's a disgraceful person who resigned, so therefore he resigned in disgrace. That's the definition of words. I don't know what to tell you, right? But now on to a related story. In September, we saw our interest rate drop 25 basis points. The first decrease of interest rate in 4 years. This week, the Reserve Bank voted to decrease the interest rate by a further 25 basis points, down to 7.75%, as inflation is currently at an acceptable level. Right? The analysts that I've been reading predicted a further decrease of 50 basis points next year. So things are slightly easing up for the middle class South Africans, right? So this is good news, especially for young people looking to buy their first house. So on to our next story. This week we had a debacle related to prepaid electricity meters. So essentially these electrical meters are going to become defective at a certain date, and unless you punch in a code that allows the meters to keep going. This process should take less than a minute, but unfortunately there are a number of older people who struggle to get their code, and as a result there were a lot of long queues and panic, right? And this culminated in the death of a man in Soweto who died while waiting in line. It's currently, well, from the articles that I've read, it's unknown of why he died, if it was like a heart attack or, you know, whatever it was, but I'm willing to count his death as a result of what we've seen here today, right? And the cause of this panic was due to Eskom threatening that if a customer did not recode their meters before the deadline, they would be liable to replace the meter for the cost of 12,000 rand. Now, in the article I read, they debunked this 12,000 rand figure by saying that the meters cost far less than 12,000 rand. But that 12,000 rand figure is a blanket fine Eskom can drop on anyone for anything. So it's not entirely incorrect for people to be using that number. But yeah, Now, on the one hand, I think this is a good idea in theory. Eskom is an underperforming state utility, and this is a measure that leads to more accountability. But this was clearly not the right way to implement it. It shows a lack of care and planning on our government's part, and it's just frankly embarrassing to see a debacle like this unfold. Of course, rest in peace to that gentleman who passed away. I'm reading this next story from BBC.com, in a story written by David Gritton. So judges at the International Criminal Court, or the ICC, have issued arrest warrants for Israel's Prime Minister and former Defense Minister, as well as the military commander of Hamas. A statement said a pre-trial chamber had rejected Israel's challenge to the court's jurisdiction and issued warrants for Benjamin Netanyahu and Yoav Gallant. A warrant was also issued for Mohammed Daif of Hamas, although Israel had said he was killed in an airstrike in Gaza in July. The judges said that there were reasonable grounds the three men bore criminal responsibility for alleged war crimes and crimes against humanity during the war between Israel and Hamas. Both Israel and Hamas have rejected the allegations. Prime Minister Netanyahu condemned the ICC's decision as anti-Semitic, while Hamas said that the warrants for Netanyahu and Gallant were set up an important historical precedent. The impact of these warrants will in part depend on whether the ICC's 124 member states, which do not include Israel or its main ally, the United States, decide to enforce them or not. The White House said that the US rejected the ICC decision. However, several European countries have said that they respect the decisions of the court. So now I think this is a fantastic thing. These two guys, Netanyahu and Gallant, they're criminals who should be brought to justice. And this is a good thing, but my only question is, why did it take so long? So many people could have been saved if Netanyahu was arrested far earlier, but like I said, I'm glad it is eventually happening. It just could have been done way earlier. All right. In our final story this week, I am reading from CNN.com in a story by Tamara Quiblawi. Israel and Lebanon have accepted a US-backed proposal to end the 13-month border conflict that spiraled into an all-out war in September with Hezbollah. From the White House's Rose Garden, US President Joe Biden said the deal that took effect early Wednesday morning at 4 a.m. local time is designed to be a permanent cessation of hostilities. The ceasefire will create the conditions to restore lasting calm and allow residents in both countries to return safely to their homes on both sides of the blue line, according to a joint statement from Biden and French President Emmanuel Macron, referring to the de facto border between Lebanon and Israel. The US and France will also work with both sides to ensure this arrangement is fully implemented and enforced. After Israel's Security Cabinet voted to approve the deal on Tuesday, Israeli President Isaac Herzog said the Lebanon ceasefire needs to guarantee the safety of residents in northern Israel. The emerging arrangement will have to meet only one test: guaranteeing the full security for all residents in the north, he said on X. While the ceasefire is correct and important, Herzog said Israel would protect its citizens, quote, in any way, end quote. Lebanon's Prime Minister Najib Mikati welcomed the ceasefire deal and thanked both the US and France for their efforts during a call with Biden on Tuesday. Hezbollah has also agreed to the terms of the deal, according to multiple Lebanese sources. The deal stipulates a 60-day cessation of hostilities, which negotiators have described as the foundation of a lasting truce. During that time, Hezbollah fighters are expected to retreat some 40 kilometers from Israel-Lebanon border, while Israeli ground forces withdraw from Lebanese territory. UN Security Council Resolution 1701, which ended the last all-out war between the two countries in 2006, has been the basis of the deal, and the negotiations have mainly revolved around the treaty's enforcement. Under the agreement, Lebanon would implement a more rigorous supervision of Hezbollah's movements south of the country's Litani River to prevent militants from regrouping there. United Nations peacekeeping troops, the Lebanese military, and a multinational committee will be tasked with supervising the Iran-backed group's movements. Israel has vowed to resume military operations in case of breach of the agreement. Now, first of all, I'm not worried that Hezbollah will breach the agreement. I'm far more worried that Israel will breach the agreement, but that's beside the point. What are the consequences of this new story? And I think that while this is on its face a feel good and a good new story that there's going to be less war, I think this is going to make Israel focus on Gaza even more, and more people and undefended people will die. And yeah, I that's disgusting to me. It's there's really nothing I can say further on that. And so yeah, it's very bleak to end on this, but thank you for listening. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, give a like, etc. Importantly, it needs to be a 5-star review. You can find our links at paycip.com. That's PAICIP.com. Please tell a friend. Tell that friend to tell a friend. Tell a family member. And yeah, goodbye.